Hey, travelers. I'm Angelica.
I'm Isabella.
I'm Riley.
And this is True Crime International.
Angelica, pilot lady, where are we going? Where are you taking us?
Today, we're heading to Bulgaria to discuss the murder of Elena Tomova. Elena Tomova was murdered in Vlado Trikov, which is a small village within the Sofia province, which isn't actually where Elena lived. She lived in Sofia, as in the capital of Bulgaria, which is not actually part of the Sofia province, which is, like, kind of confusing to me.
Bulgaria, why did you do that?
Because
that's unnecessarily quite confusing.
There's a Sofia province, and then, like, Sofia, the capital, is its own province. Like, its own thing. It makes no sense.
I wonder if it's like Delhi then. Wait, the capital city, Sofia, is not in the province of Sofia?
Mm-hmm.
Why do this? Like, it's really common to have, like, the major city and the province have the same name.
Yeah.
That's unnecessarily confusing.
It's like
Bulgaria.
There's Sofia province and Sofia city province.
Get your shit together, Bulgaria.
it's really random. But it needs to be clarified that she died in a place that she didn't permanently reside in. So she lived in the capital with her daughter Zornista and Zornista's husband, but she traveled to Vlado Trikov fairly often because she still owned a villa over there. By over there, I mean south, like 45 minutes. Ooh, it's not very far. So she went to the villa on August 27th, 2009 by herself. But when she arrived, she noticed some things that had indicated that someone had been there.
Oh.
Just creepy. There was a fisherman's hat on the floor, and her bed looked as if it had been slept in, which is terrifying.
Is the honest, the way you said that, I was like, is this the Three Little Pigs?
No.
Like, that's what it sounded like.
Much worse. Obviously, she didn't feel great about this, and she was like, maybe I should call the police. But she didn't end up doing that because she didn't really think there was a point. And to be fair, it's not like anyone was there. So what could they really do about it? Like, no, she was alone in the house. No one was there.
Uh-huh.
So she went about her day. She went to, like, go pick berries. You know, day-to-day life.
Honestly,
day in the life,
like,
you know?
That sounds like a good fucking
right?
life.
I want to go pick berries.
I think I'll go pick berries today.
Do you want to
just wake up and be like, do you
want
to go pick strawberries? That's actually a really popular thing to do in England in the summers, go strawberry picking. And then
there's one in Ypsilanti that I go to every summer.
Strawberries are really good. And they go home and then they cut them up and put them in some fresh cream, like cold fresh cream with sugar. Mm. And oh, nothing like it.
Very yummy. She clearly didn't feel too great about staying, though she thought maybe she'd go back to Sofia, the province. But I'm assuming, despite the fact that it was only like 48-ish minutes away by car, she maybe didn't have her own transportation, so she stayed put. Like, she probably didn't want to bother her daughter to come get her or something. So she stayed. However, she did go to her neighbor's house to see if maybe she could stay the night with her or something. And her neighbor wasn't actually that close to her. Like, the villas were pretty far apart. So if something did happen, she was worried, like, who would know? Because no one would hear.
Exactly. That's honestly terrifying.
Yeah. I really do prefer it when my neighbors are close. Like, as much as I would love to live in a big house, middle of nowhere, that's scary.
Same.
That is scary.
Yeah. If I wasn't by myself, I'd be less scared. Like, if there was someone else that lived with me. But yeah, I don't know.
But even, I mean, major crimes happen in big cities all the time as well. So, like, isolation really doesn't make anything any
better. We're not safe.
You're never safe. I saw an article the other day on, I think it was on Facebook. I think I was checking our group and like I saw it from one of the other true crime groups. Someone posted an article that was like, true crime is destroying your mental health. And I was like, leave me
probably
alone. Like, but it's making you paranoid. I'm like, I was paranoid before. Just chill.
Yeah. Also, yep. True crime isn't the thing destroying my mental health. I trust. Maybe it's not helping. But I also I'm gonna think be paranoid SVU, either way. Yeah. Also, I feel like SVU is like one of the only things that makes me happy.
If I'm not listening to true crime podcasts, like, what am I going to listen to when I'm doing the dishes? There's nothing else making that ever sounds history. Good when I'm doing the dishes.
That's what
anyway.
I used to always listen when I drove. Driving is like,
yeah, know. Driving and then doing the dishes. But I don't yep. drive here, mm-hmm. so dishes.
Okay. Anyways. Her neighbor already had people over, so she unfortunately turned Elena away, which I'm sure she regrets now, but I mean, it's understandable. You have plans.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
She probably just didn't think anything.
No.
Too serious, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. So, Elena returned to the villa and went about her night, but she did put an axe next to her bed. Because she was like...
A.K.A. me.
I yeah. have done this.
Yeah.
I have a baseball bat next to my bed.
I slept with a hatchet under my pillow.
Okay. That seems dangerous.
Yeah, that does it was seem
under,
dangerous.
So it was a double bed. It was under the pillow next to me.
Still dangerous. For me, and what kind of sleeper I am, which is very reckless, toss and turn, I would get that axe in my own face.
I mean, the hatchet, the blade was facing away from me, so I was just yeah. facing the handle. But I lived in an area in Washington State, like my street just wasn't very safe, and I was home alone one night, and there had just been an attempted break-in next door, and I was not taking any chances, especially since you could access my room from the outside because my room was like slightly underground, but there was still a window. No.
Yep.
Hatchet was necessary.
Safe. Yep. Gotta keep safe. So the next day, Zornista calls her mother several times and no one picks up. So by the 29th, she's really nervous and I cannot blame her. Her mother had called her on the night of the 27th and told her that there was a man in her house. And I'm assuming that she played it very cool to make her daughter not act quickly. And I do think the interaction she intended to have with this man was just like a civilized conversation. So maybe she wasn't worried about it. And like that was sort of her vibe as a human. And so she didn't want her daughter to be worried either. She even mentioned that Zornista's father was there, but this was not true. They'd been divorced for 10 years. Like, he was not there. I'm not sure why. But I'm assuming it was more to get Zornista to not worry.
Still weird, nonetheless. Yes.
Still weird. Still weird. On the 29th, so 2 days since Zornista had heard from her mother, Zornista and her husband go to Vlado Trikov, and Elena's son-in-law goes inside and finds Elena dead, and they immediately call the police. What the police find is crosses drawn all over the house, just all over it. And then Elena, who was put under a sheet with a cross lying on top of it, her clothes weren't on her correctly, like they were pulled down to her waist. And she also had a cross drawn on her forehead as well as one carved somewhere on her body. Most horrifyingly, her left breast had been cut from her chest.
Ugh.
And they found it under the bed with the ew. Thing that was used to do it.
No.
Ew.
Yeah.
Is what kind of Christianity? Like, what kind of Christian country is Bulgaria? Are they Catholic? Hold on. I'm curious now. Oh, they are, like, vast majority Eastern Orthodox. Okay.
Ethan Orthodox.
Eastern Orthodox, yeah. I thought Elena maybe it was Catholic, but only, like, 1% of the population is Catholic.
Elena is not, and we'll get into that. It's okay. Semi-relevant. Also, people that cut off parts of bodies. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Couldn't tell ya.
Later, they also found out that she had a broken hyoid, and they determined she'd been choked to death.
I mean, broken hyoid, man.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yep. The police searched for the killer in the area, but they weren't able to find him. They thought the killer was likely male and in his mid-30s, probably without a steady job and without a family. And he probably lived as a nomad, hence him sleeping in Elena's bed. He also probably was unsuccessful in his relationships with women and likely hated them, which would stem from an unfortunate childhood or past and hatred of his own mother.
A male killer?
Wow.
That hates women?
Who saw no. that coming?
So original.
Right. After 2 years, though, they were just unable to find anything, so they closed their investigation, which is a bummer. The public had their own theory. Elena was a devoted Jehovah's Witness, and they believed that what happened had to do with her involvement with them. But the Jehovah's Witness, they wrote a letter. They denied any connection to this murder. And as it would turn out, they didn't have anything to do with it. But as we'll see, her religious views might have.
Now you had know. Something to do with it?
Yes, they might have okay. had. Yeah. Fast forward to about 2 years. To February 22nd of 2011. So they must have, like, reopened pretty quickly the case since they had closed it also 2 years later. But
yeah.
2 years
the
earlier.
The police arrest a man. Yeah, 2 years earlier. No, later. They did close it after 2 years.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I was right this time. The police arrest a man named Michal Lisztarski, who was found in a cave.
Yo, I don't like caves.
No.
That's bad vibes.
Imagine living in one.
Nope.
Not great.
I went to some caves a couple weeks ago, and it was cool, but I was also terrified and claustrophobic the whole time.
I'm so scared.
Yeah, I'm too claustrophobic for that.
Yeah. They arrest him because they think he was involved in a string of robberies, which he was. He was. This is not a lie. During the process of him being charged for these crimes, he admits to murdering Elena.
Just, like, out of nowhere?
Yeah. Like, it's seemingly out of nowhere. It's
being charged for robbery. You're being charged for robberies and you just admit, you just confess to a murder.
Right.
That's a big jump.
Really different. Robberies, murder? So, we're going to talk about Michal here for a minute. I'm going to tell you who he is. So, Michal was born in 1959. So, he was 52 years old when he was arrested and 50 years old when Elena had been murdered. He was one of two children, and while his father was abusive, his mother was just avoidant. She really didn't give him much attention at all. Michal apparently would act out, and his mother... What?
His mother...
And his father took extremes because of it. He would chain Michal up to his bed. And if that wasn't bad enough, and as if that wasn't bad enough, he would leave food for Michal. But he'd leave the food so it was just out of reach. So Michal would also be starved.
Ugh.
Yeah, like, this is fucked up. You don't do this to your children. No. And his mother knew about this and just ignored it. And essentially just ignored Michal most of the time. So it was a bummer. And I don't know how Michal's sibling was treated because we don't know much. We just really know about his parents. But he spent as little time as possible at home so he could avoid his dad. And thus began his robberies. He'd go out at night and rob people, and he got in trouble for these acts throughout his life. Like, it's something he continued to do. And he wasn't extremely educated. He dropped out of school after 8th grade. And when he was around 16, he was called to serve mandatory service in the army.
Eighth grade would be about 13 years old because it's different in every country.
Yes.
It's like eighth grade would, like eighth year in the UK, they would be like 14 or 12. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's one of, it's, I can't remember which way it goes, but. Just eighth grade is about 13 years old for our international listeners.
But this, his army service actually seemed like a pretty good thing because it meant he was at home even less. And also, I mean, I feel like it's harder to rob people when you're serving in the army.
Unless you rob your comrades.
Yeah, that's
that. True. Yeah,
that,
true.
That is true. After one of his visits home, because he did still return home here and there, he was taken back to his regiment by his parents, with his father driving, but his father was driving drunk, and he crashed the car. Mihail was fine, but his dad was left with broken legs, and his mother with head trauma that had a permanent effect on her mental health. And according to Mihail, she'd just really act kind of off sometimes. Like, she committed several acts of arson to their own property. So she just was never the same. And eventually, she ends up accusing Mihail of rape, which he went to prison for. I have no idea if these accusations were true or false.
False.
It was his mom?
Yes. His mother accused him of rape.
Oh, fuck me. Okay.
Yep.
So I have no idea if these accusations were true or false, but considering Mihail's future actions, it wouldn't surprise me. Because he probably held his mom responsible for a lot of the bad that happened to him. It wouldn't shock me if he did something to get back at her for it. He did say that she lied about it, and this lie was what really broke him. He does go to prison for this, and while he is there, he's described as an, quote, excellent prisoner, bad citizen, unquote. Which,
okay.
I don't know. He was there for 12 years despite being sentenced to 18 because he did, like, community service stuff to lessen his sentence. But he continued to keep just going in and out of prison because he kept robbing people. During one of his days,
a kleptomaniac?
I don't know. I literally... He says he robbed people because he was starving and he needed food, he needed money, stuff like that. But he did start from an awfully young age, so I'm really not sure. During one of his days in prison, he was gang raped, which definitely didn't help things for him. And despite who he is, that's awful. It shouldn't happen. Like, the things that happen in prison really piss me off. One of the times that he was out of prison, he essentially hired an underage prostitute to be his live-in girlfriend. But she left him, probably because he just wasn't good with women. Also, he was likely a creep, so who can really blame her? He can. He really feels bad about this. It really hurt his feelings. He took that personally. He had a good job at one point at a hotel, and he was a really good worker, according to his boss. But when his probation ended, he just, like, went crazy. He broke a bunch of the company's property for just no apparent reason. He was just not stable. And it was after this that he decided that he just didn't fit into society, so he started to live in caves. Which is a weird flex, but okay, you do
That's
you.
That's not jump.
I know.
He went from working at a nice hotel to living in caves.
Right?
Why,
sir? It's weird. Yeah. But he also lived, like, there was a period of time where he forced his way into one of his old cellmates' houses and lived there for 4 months. He was violent and threatened them. He moved into their attic, and he'd cut holes in the attic, like, ceiling and walls, so he could watch them, which is just really, really creepy.
One of my worst nightmares is someone
living in my attic, so I don't know.
I hate that.
Whenever there are stories about people living in attics or, like, cellars or whatever, I just avoid them. I can't handle it. It's too creepy for me.
I agree. And I'm assuming he must have just been acting really crazy if they were just so scared that they couldn't even call the police. Like, this is 4 months. And during his stay, he did attack his old cellmate, and he also raped his cellmate's wife.
Oh my god.
So he was acting nuts. While he was living in the caves, he traveled to the sea and just all around, which is why the police think he committed several murders in different areas. And it's because of this that it's hard to link him to any with absolute certainty. Like, they said he was a nomad. Like, they got that part right. So, back to what happened, apparently, the night of Elena's death. Elena had been right that someone had been staying in her home, and that was Mihail. He entered the previous night through a broken window, had a meal, drank her gin, and went to sleep. On the 27th, Elena was reading a book when she heard the front gate open, and then few moments later, Mihail entered her home, and he certainly hadn't been expecting to see her, but he did not leave. He instead asked her for food. And Elena, being the caring woman that she was, said yes and gave him something and even allowed him to cook more for herself, for himself. Like, she just was being very hospitable.
Like, she was just like, there's a strange man in my house. I'm going to give him whatever he wants, and hopefully he will leave me alone. And then leave.
Yeah. And it was during the time he was cooking for himself that she called her daughter. Later, she offered Mihail a smoke, and he went outside. They both went outside, and he smoked. And when they came back inside, Elena began to talk about the Bible and God, which was something that Mihail didn't appreciate, because something about the situation reminded him of his mother. He thought Elena kind of looked like her. It just set him off. So he flew off the handle, and she tried to get to her axe that she had put into her bedroom, but he overpowered her. He had apparently intended to rape her, but he had been choking her and didn't realize he had killed her during the process, and he couldn't get himself to rape her when she was already dead.
Well, yeah.
Not because he didn't want to, but because of his issues with women. And
Do
you know if Elena and Mihail's mother actually did look similar?
No.
Or if he just found, like, you know, they had, like, the same, a freckle in the same place.
I have no idea what Mihail's mother actually looked like. I know what Elena looks like, but I don't know. I think it was just Mihail's instability. After he had killed her, he then sat her on the bed and cried. And after that is when he mangled her body and then covered her up. The only reason that I think that the crying could have happened is because of the fact that he covered her up, because that's often associated with remorse and guilt. However, so we have this confession, we have everything, but then he recants it, because he said that he was harassed by the police, which is the only reason that he confessed. And while he knew who Elena was, he didn't kill her. Which,
What?
Yeah. He says that he was only hiding in the cave because he had stolen heroin from a wealthy woman, and that's why he was hiding from police. But the thing is, they literally arrested him for being a thief, not because of a murder.
They didn't even connect him to her.
Exactly. So while I do think that police coercion, stuff like that, has happened in the past, where police force a confession that isn't truthful, I just don't think it happened here. Especially given the other things that have been linked to him and what he'll say in the future. And I'll come back to that. Also, they found DNA under her fingernails.
Oh, thank God.
And connected it to Mihail. So, good. Why would it be there if there wasn't some kind of...
Good.
Like, her trying to defend herself.
Yeah.
Three similar murders have been linked to him. The first was a crime that happened in 2007, which was the murder of a 59-year-old woman named Mariana Dendova, who had been strangled. And also, one of her breasts had been cut off.
Same MO.
Yeah. They had a really difficult time figuring out that it had been cut off because she'd been, like, eaten by some dogs in area. No. So they didn't, like, get it at first. But eventually, they were like, wait, this is a perfect cut. So Mariana had been found in an area that was popular among prostitutes. And I'm not sure if she'd been one herself, but the motive was tied to her reminding Mihail of the prostitute that had left him. But really, to me, it's just more evidence that he just hated women and blamed them for things that went wrong. Because the prostitute that he paid to be his girlfriend was underage, while this woman was 59 years old. Like,
yeah,
the reminders never are sitting with me.
It's just like any woman.
Yeah, exactly. It's more likely to me that this woman could have reminded him of his mother than the prostitute, because an older woman, like, I don't know. In 2011, two elderly men were found beaten to death, and at least one of them had been robbed. The first victim was killed in January, and that was an 82-year-old named Jordan Yoloff. The second one was in February, and that was 75-year-old Vladimir Tishovsky. In his cave, police had found around 12 pairs of glasses that were not his own. So they thought that these were sort of like trophies of his past victims.
Yep, that's a weird thing to steal. Like, I know glasses are expensive.
Maybe his mom wore glasses.
I don't know. I think he was just stealing random shit. Police essentially had no doubt that he committed more murders, but they weren't able to connect him to them. But Mihail insisted that this was just a frame job and he had nothing to do with it, which just doesn't check out. And you'll see why. And on September 29th of 2011, he was given two life sentences despite his insistence that he was not guilty.
How many years is a life sentence in Bulgaria, do you know?
Okay, well, honestly, up until we did the two cases today, I didn't realize those could be shorter than
They're usually 20 to 25, so I think.
Fucking yeah. No, bro.
Because it wouldn't make if it's like an actual whole of life sentence, then it wouldn't make sense to give someone two. You're not a cat.
Yeah, you're right. You're not a cat.
Like, don't you dare assume that I'm not a cat.
But he got two of them. But so now time to get into him being a hypocrite and me believing he's absolutely guilty. In 2016, he got so upset that people were making him out to be, like, this terrible man who, like, was a caveman, stuff like that. He's called the killer from the cave, the caveman. Like, he's called that. He lived in a cave. What do you
so
expect?
So easy
I don't
a caveman
know.
Could do it.
Yeah.
Do you remember those ads? Those ads was so bad.
It's weird. Yeah.
So easy Mihail could do it.
But... This really made him so mad, and he said that when he got out of prison, he would skin at least 5 people alive.
Fuck off. I'm sorry, you didn't murder before, but now you're gonna murder?
Yeah, like, what kind of innocent person says something like that? They don't. They just don't say shit like that. Like, I would never get so angry that I'm like, I could skin someone alive right now.
No, thank you.
Because I
no.
don't think like that, but clearly Mihail does. Secondly, in an interview in 2020, he literally admitted to 2 more killings.
Why? Literally why? What is the point of this?
Yeah. He said in 1999, he committed his first murder when he was drunk. His victim was apparently a female neighbor, and he had no reason to kill her. He just felt like it. But... you know what does not make sense about this at fucking all? He was literally in prison in 1999 for raping his mother.
This guy does not know how to keep a story straight so whatsoever. I'm just
like, I feel like he is definitely lying about killing someone in 1999 since he was in fucking prison. Don't know why he's lying.
Unless he just got the year wrong.
Yeah.
He seems a little delusional, yeah. So I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, but I do wonder when his first murder occurred and why. I don't know. He then said that he also killed another woman, even though her death had been attributed to heart problems. But he wouldn't say anything else on the matter. So police don't know who, where, or when. They've got nothing.
He's like, it's 2020. I am bored. Everyone's in isolation. Let me just admit to things I most likely didn't do.
Right? Exactly. I don't fucking get it. It makes zero sense to me.
He's like, the world needs entertainment right now. Let me provide it.
I just... Also, why the fuck would you confess to more murders when you said that you were framed for murder? Like, how are we supposed to believe you?
Because he's an idiot.
And the police are investigating these murders, and they plan to bring about new charges if they're able to get more information from him, or they just find information. I don't know how they would, to be honest with you.
I doubt this is true. I doubt he killed other people. I doubt he killed those people specifically.
Yes. I think that he definitely killed others, like, while he was living out of caves, because he was traveling. He was going around. He apparently would brag that he could walk, like, 30 kilometers a day or something like that. I don't know. He was a very good hiker and climber.
I just, like, the one where the person was strangled and with the breast cut off, like, that makes sense.
Yes. That makes sense.
That I believe. But what about the other two? Like, come on.
I do. Okay, so I have, like, my theories about who he targets and stuff. They're all older victims. So I feel like his victims in a certain way do represent his parents because they were not great. They were not great to him. And I think he really holds them responsible for a lot of what went wrong in his life. But
it makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's like my theory on why. And like, but it is, I don't know. It's weird. But we'll keep you updated.
If we find anything else out of her. Yeah,
if Michal lets anything else out. Yeah. He did that one in 2020, so, like, he could keep talking. I don't know. He's clearly still talking. He really wants people to think of him in a better light, which is not going to happen, Michal. Like, whatever. I don't know. But for now, he'll remain in prison. So, I think that's the that's good. That's good. Keep him there. If you want to see pictures of Michal, see why people judge him, you can.
Where, Angel?
On our Instagram at TrueCrimeINTL, or our Facebook group, which is just True Crime International.
Angelica, sometimes I'm really surprised because you have a naturally low voice, but sometimes you can reach high notes that I didn't believe were possible for you.
Oh, I know. It's funny. And I hate doing these at the end.
Do you want me to do it?
I can't. I've got it. Okay. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, if you could please leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. It helps get us out there more. So that'd be nice of you. And if you want more content, you can join our Patreon. We have one level right now. It's $5 a month. And each month, you get at least 3 more episodes, which is really awesome. And there's a bunch of episodes already on there. So you just get more each month. That's great.
We have like over 15. I think we have like 16, probably 17 by the time this episode goes up.
Yeah. And if you join our Patreon, you get to be called Frequent Flyers.
It's our Frequent Flyers Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's OP as fuck. So that's that.
Well, we hope you learned something new today, and thanks for flying on True Crime International, and we hope you enjoy your stay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Right, you just dipped.